So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, text number 43. Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Padharavinda Kanjauka Mizra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the Personality of God had entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Purport, it appears from this verse that the four Kumaras are impersonalists or protagonists in the philosophy of monism, becoming one with the Lord. But as soon as they saw the Lord's features, their minds changed. In other words, the impersonalist who feels transcendental pleasure in striving to become one with the Lord is defeated when he sees beautiful transcendental features, when he sees the beautiful transcendental features of the Lord. Because of the fragrance of his lotus feet carried by the air and mixed with the aroma of tulasi, their minds changed. Instead of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, they thought it wise to be devotees. Becoming a servitor of the lotus feet of the Lord is better than becoming one with the Lord. Om Jnanate Manandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kutuva Chalan Pangutam Vante Yat Kripatalaham Vande Sri Gurum Dina Tarana Vanchikavati Vishya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Quite often we hear of how devotees come to the shelter of Krishna, come to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, it's a common thing, you meet a devotee. Oh, how did you join? So it's interesting how the Kumaras joined. They smell the fragrance of the tulsi leaves. Pretty extraordinary way to join the Hare Krishna movement. But so many ways people join. There's one, I know one, he was a homeless man, and in America we call them dumpster divers. You know, you have a dumpster of trash, they go in there and they get food and stuff. So he got a book. He got a book in the dumpster. Hey, what's this? Science of Self-Realization? Yeah, check it out. He's been a disciple of Prabhupada now for over 40 years. Yeah. So somebody got a book and weren't interested, threw it in the trash. But that's not the end of the story. So these books are amazing. Radha Swami tells one story. He used to travel around the Midwest doing college preaching. But back in the early 70s, the main way of transportation was hitchhiking. You all know hitchhiking? Indians, you know hitchhiking? That's when you put your thumb out next to the road and you try to get someone. That's a sign that they're looking for a ride. And people pull over, and they pick you up and they take you some distance. So he was hitchhiking. And somebody picked him up. And Radha Swami, very friendly person, he said, So, my friend, what are you into? What do you like to do? He said, I like to chant Hare Krishna. He didn't know Radha Swami. He'd never seen a devotee before, so he didn't. You chant Hare Krishna? I said, I like to chant Hare Krishna. He said, oh, really? Yeah, I chant Hare Krishna too. Oh, you chant Hare Krishna too? Oh, good. What else are you? What's your life about? He said, well, I live a simple life. I don't gamble. I don't take any intoxication. No meat eating. No illicit sex. And Radha Swami said, really? And he looked like a cowboy. Yeah. He was shocked. And Radha Swami said, I follow those same things. I'm a devotee of Krishna. He said, oh, really? You're a devotee of Krishna? Oh, very nice. So they were talking. And then Radha Swami said, so how did you come to learn about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna? How did all this happen? He said, I was outside a store. I bought a watermelon. And I was outside a store. And I was eating this watermelon over this trash can. It's a really good watermelon. But somehow it slipped out of my hands and fell into the trash. And then, generally I don't do this, but it was such a good watermelon, I reached down to get the watermelon. And I found this book, Bhagavad Gita. And then I thought, hey, maybe it's interesting, I like to read. And I reached down again, got the watermelon, finished the watermelon. And then I took the book home, and I was amazed. I was amazed. The teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. I couldn't believe it. I was just totally attracted. So now I chant Hare Krishna, and I like it. I get a spiritual high from chanting Hare Krishna. So then he asked, so where are you going? He asked Radha Swami, where are you going? I'm going to the temple. He said, there's temples. I said, yeah, I live there. You want to go? He said, I can go there? I can go to the temple? Yeah, let's go, Bill. All right, let's go. So it turns out that he asked Radha Swami, is there any service I can do there? He said, well, we're building a temple, maybe you could help. He said, really? Well, I'm a welder. And he had all these tools, like $25,000 worth of tools for welding. So he became one of the main welders. And you've all heard of the Palace of Gold, Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. You all heard of that? So he was an instrument in building that palace of gold. And then he said, I have some money also. Can I donate some Lakshmi money to you? He didn't say Lakshmi, he said money. He said, yeah, if you want. He gave $5,000 in the truck. Radha Swami just got picked up. And here this person's got $25,000 worth of equipment to help build the temple there in the Prabhupada's palace and gives him $5,000. Yeah, so that was a pretty good ride. Yeah. So many ways that people join this Krishna consciousness movement. Mostly people join, though, from the knowledge, from the books. And that's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much the distribution of this literature. Sometimes devotees would ask Prabhupada when the World War III would take place. And Prabhupada would just say different things. Actually, Prabhupada was such a great personality that devotees thought that he was omniscient, that he knew everything. And therefore, asked him, Prabhupada, when's World War III going to happen? But then one time the devotee asked Prabhupada, are you omniscient? Prabhupada said, no, I'm not omniscient. But Krishna can let me know what I want to know. Which is also pretty interesting. So actually World War III began. It already started. And it started when Prabhupada stepped off the Jaladutta onto the land of America. The war against Maya. Now generally wars are not very nice. Death, blood. But this war is a friendly war. We never heard of a friendly war, have we? So we go out and we befriend people. But what is the purpose? To destroy their ignorance. It's a war against ignorance. Oh my God, everyone is born into ignorance. So this is what this battle is against. To destroy ignorance. And generally, as we all know, bombs, they destroy. Sometimes they destroy cities. Japan, the atom bomb would destroy the whole city, Hiroshima. Right? They destroy buildings, bombs destroy buildings, they destroy people, so many things, bridges. But these bombs, these transcendental bombs, they destroy ignorance. And not only that, but they replace this ignorance with knowledge. So these are very special bombs. They destroy ignorance and replace the ignorance with transcendental knowledge. And sometimes there's time bombs. So a lot of the books that we distribute, they're time bombs. They sit in people's homes and they tick, 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 tick. Sometimes for years they're ticking. And then they pick up the book and boom, and they read the book. There was one instance of a young man, he was about 19, and he was searching. He was searching for God. And eventually he went to his mother and he said, you know, Mom, I'm trying to understand something about God. Can you help me? She said, well, have you read the Bible? He said, well, yeah, I tried, but didn't get much out of it. Quran? No, didn't get much. I tried, didn't get much out of it. Oh, she said, you know, I got a book 25 years ago. In the 70s, it's called Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And I didn't read it, but hey, maybe there's something there. Won't you read it? Yeah. So he read it, and he was completely satisfied and amazed by the knowledge that he found in Srimad Bhagavatam. So then somehow he found some devotees and became a devotee. So the book was ticking there for 25 years. And then it went off. And this happens a lot. We have no idea. We have no idea how much this happens, that people are becoming devotees from books that they achieved God from years and years. So we don't know what's going to happen by this book distribution, but we do know one thing for sure. It's very, very, very auspicious. Prabhupada said they just touch a book, they benefit. Inconceivable. Right? There's one instance where a devotee was distributing books at a concert, and the devotee put the book in this person's hand, and he held it. He said, "This book is powerful." He said to the devotee. And the devotee said, "Well, yeah, that's because you're holding God in your hands." "Oh, well, that explains it." So people, sometimes they can feel the power of the books. Prabhupada said that if the books are in people's homes, that's like having a deity in the home. Because they're Krishna. The knowledge of Krishna, the deity of Krishna, the name of Krishna, it's all absolute. So it's like Vaisheshika Prabhu, sometimes when people, they say, "Well, you know, I don't read." So he tells them, "That's all right, you just have it in your home, and it's going to create auspiciousness in your life. Just have it in your home, and you'll see, it'll change your life." This is in the airport, San Francisco airport. She said, "All right." Somehow she had faith in Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's a pretty powerful personality. So she gave a donation and went on her way. 10 minutes later, he's speaking to somebody else, and she goes by him, and she holds up the book. And she said, "It's already working. I just got an upgrade to first class." So, of course, there's much greater auspiciousness from reading Prabhupada's books. So, yeah, these books are very, very, very powerful. Prabhupada said they read one line, it could change their life. And Prabhupada one time he said, "Nothing can stop this movement. It's too late. Because the books are out there." He said, "Even if everybody leaves, everyone gives up Krishna consciousness, still it's going to start again. Because the books are out there." I'll tell you an interesting story in Russia. In Russia, book distribution is huge. They're the number two country in the world. And what's really amazing is that throughout the year, America is in front of Russia. And right now, they're about 160,000 book points ahead of Russia. But every year, Russia defeats America. They have these huge marathons in December. Like everybody goes out. So they're just doing, and now we're talking about Russia in December. It's cold. It's really cold. But they're just so devoted, so much devotion to these books, to getting these books out, that they just do huge. It's amazing. So there's one man, he got one of Prabhupada's books. Somehow, I think a friend of his gave him one. And he was reading it, and he was like amazed. He was just astounded at the wisdom. I don't know which book it was. But in this book, it's said that this knowledge is so important that it should be distributed throughout the world. And he read it, he read this book 3 times. He liked it so much. So then he decided this knowledge should be distributed, so let me do something good for people. So he had some money, so he went and he got some printed. He went to the printing shop. He got some printed, a few hundred. And he started distributing them. He was out distributing books. Never met a devotee. Had no idea of anything except for that book. And he became a book distributor. Amazing. Huh? This is the Shakti of Prabhupada's books. So he's distributing books. And then one Sankirtan team came through that town distributing books. And they approached one person. person said, "Oh, I just got one of these books a few days ago." And they thought, "Oh, there must be some other Sankirtan team here distributing books." So they continued distributing, and they met somebody else that had already gotten a book also. And then later that day, they ran into this person that's distributing books. And they said, "Oh, Haribo, Babu." And he said, "Haribo, Babu, what is that? Oh, you're distributing books, and you don't know Haribo, Babu?" "No, no. What's that?" And they said, what temple are you from?" "Temple? There's temples. Of course there's temples. How are you distributing books? You don't know about temples, you don't know about Haribo, Babu? How is this? How are you distributing books? How is this possible?" And he said, "Well, one friend, he gave me one of these books, this book here actually, and I was so impressed that I went and I got a bunch printed on distributing. Because it said that this knowledge is so important it should be distributed throughout the world. So I thought maybe I should just distribute here in my town at least." Devotees couldn't believe it. They were shocked. He became a book distributor. Didn't know, he was a meat eater too. Yeah. He didn't know about vegetarianism yet. So there's the example. Actually, it happened in America. A similar thing happened in America. So the knowledge is out there. Too late. Prabhupada actually said, he said, if the government authorities knew what I was going to do when I went to America, they would have killed me. Because by his influence, so many people became vegetarians. So many people stopped watching television. So many of them stopped eating. Like now, I go into a supermarket. There's nothing in there I eat except for vegetables and fruits. Previously, all of us Hare Krishnas, yeah, we would eat so many other things. Junk food, right? So much junk. You know, we would... Yeah, so much nonsense we were all doing. Yeah. Of course, maybe not here. You're born in, some of you are born in nice, pious families. But in America, where devotees are taking drugs, and drinking alcohol, and just doing all kinds of nonsense. So they stopped it all. And had a big influence in, you know, like vegetarianism now. There's about 30 million vegetarians now in America. And I'm sure Prabhupada had a lot to do with that. Yeah. Because these books, they give an understanding of non-violence, to be kind to all living entities. And in the books, there's messages. It's like you've all seen the cow and the human being. The human being has a cow head. And the cow has a human being head. Yeah, you've all seen the karma. I was distributing books one time in the Santa Monica Promenade in Los Angeles. And when I go around universities all around Southern California, and sometimes I go to the mall there. And that's one of my pictures that I display. So I was at Santa Monica Promenade, and one businessman, he saw that picture, and he was shocked. So that's karma. That's karma. It comes back to you. We kill, we get killed. I saw him 2 months later, and he said from the time he saw that picture, he never ate meat again. It's a powerful presentation. And just a couple weeks ago, I was distributing books at a university, and one girl, she saw the picture in my book, and she said, "You know, my boyfriend, he saw that picture. He stopped eating meat from that. From the moment he saw that picture, he never ate meat again." So Prabhupada wanted the pictures in the books because the saying is that a picture is worth a thousand words. Right? So I always show the pictures. And people, many times they get the books just because of the pictures. I'll tell you another interesting story. I was distributing books at one university, UC Davis. Oh no, San Luis Obispo, San Luis Obispo. And this one student, he got the book just because of this one picture of the five horses and the senses. You know, the horses represent the senses, and intelligence is the reins, and the driver, no, the reins is the mind, the driver is the intelligence, passenger is the soul. He was like, wow, that's such a good example. So I saw him a year later, and he said, you know that picture that you showed me? I got that Bhagavad Gita from you? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, I laminated that picture, and it's next to my bed on the wall. So I understand this is the situation. From the beginning of the day, I know this is the situation. Got to control the senses, control the mind. So these books are very powerful. They change people's lives. Changed our life. And that's the result. That should be the result of reading Prabhupada's books, that we change. We want to change. We want to become pure devotees. Right? This is the goal. And while we're changing, we want to help others also change in a very nice way. Changing from the material modes of nature to the spiritual mode. Prabhupada said there's also a pure devotional mode. That's the mode of pure devotional service. So we want people to change towards that direction. Give up the modes of material nature. Yeah. They'll get purified. Just as we're getting purified. Sometimes we may not understand how. How am I ever going to become a pure devotee? Any of you ever wondered like that? How is it possible? You ever wonder about that? I wonder about that. How is it possible? But you know, it's interesting that one of the symptoms, Prabhupada says the first symptom of a devotee is that he doesn't think he's a devotee. So even when you become a pure devotee, you won't know it. Because you won't think you're a devotee. Interesting. The first symptom. So, we should not be discouraged and carry on. Try our best. Pray for the mercy of Krishna that we can serve Him. This is what we pray for. We just want to serve Krishna. In whatever situation we may be in, we just want to try to please Krishna. Yeah. And we'll get purified. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmavir Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmayavatena Gantavir Brahmakarma Samadhi. That one who is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual world, because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So this is how we get purified. We accept only those things which are in relation to Krishna. And this is called purified intelligence. The intelligence is meant to control the senses. Right? So if we're intelligent, we'll only accept those things which are conducive to my advancement in spiritual life and reject everything else. That's a sign of intelligence. So we have to know what is good, what is not good. So we're getting so much instruction from Prabhupada in the books and his lectures and other devotees. So we're learning what we should accept, what we should reject. Now this is the age of technology. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult age to just stay fixed in Krishna, because there's so much distraction in the age. technology. iPhones, iPads, computers, you know, the whole world of Maya is right there in front of us in the computer. Very dangerous. And many devotees have become bewildered because of going in the wrong page. You know, it's all right there in the tip of our fingers. So, you have to be very careful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked by one of his disciples, one of his householder disciples, he said, "Gurudev, I'm seeing that the brahmacharis here in the ashram have such opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness, but I don't see that happening so much, or maybe I'm flawed myself, but this is what I'm observing. Is there any reason for this, or am I seeing wrongly?" He said, "No, you're seeing right." And he says, "It's because of two reasons." He said, "It's because of secret bad habits." Secret bad habits. Now, this is back in the 30s. There was no internet back then. I don't know what those secret bad habits were, but there was something there that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. Secret bad habits. So we're trying to change from bad habits, anarthas, right, to good habits. Give up our bad habits. Of course, the bad habits that we're trying to become free of mostly is subtle bad habits. Thinking of the wrong thing. Grossly, we're doing, you know, our body is doing the right thing. But it's this, the subtle ones, those are the ones we're trying to become free of. And think of the right thing. What does Krishna say? Manmana bhava madbhakto manjhaji mamma. Mamma vai sasi sasi prati jani priyosi. Always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you'll come to me. I promise you this because you're my dear, very dear friend. So this is not easy in Kali Yuga to think of Krishna. Yeah. But if we sincerely try, then Krishna will help us. There was two things he said. The other one is slipping my mind. I'm having a senior moment. I can't remember the other thing that he said, but maybe I'll find it and tell you tomorrow. Any question or a comment by anyone? Or correction? You know, Srila, Vaisheshika Babu, he made an interesting statement one time. He said, "We should live to be corrected." Interesting statement. Because we have so many flaws, conditioned souls. But sometimes when we're corrected, our false ego, "Who are you to tell me?" Yeah, we're false ego, but we should actually want to be corrected so that we can carry on nicely in Krishna consciousness. There's so many senior devotees that can give us correction. So, no correction? No question? Yes.
You were mentioning that these books are placed in people's home, and then if no one's a devotee, still somebody can revive the movement. So and then you were saying that there are some examples in America also. You gave the Russian example. Would you share?
The one in America, see if I could remember it, one person was he was reading Prabhupada's books on the internet. You know, you could. That's one nice advantage of the internet, is that people come across Prabhupada's books from the internet. So this person was reading Prabhupada's books, and there was no temple in this particular city. But he found out about the BBT. In Los Angeles. So he was he called them, and he was speaking to them. And you know, from speaking to the devotee there in Los Angeles, of course, he understood there's a whole movement in America. There's so many temples, so many devotees. And he found out about book distribution because he was very impressed by the knowledge that was given. So he asked this devotee in the BBT, "Can you send me some books? Can I purchase some books? And maybe I'll distribute here." And she, "Yeah, sure." So he got books at temple costs because he's distributing. So he got some books and he was distributing there. Never saw a devotee face to face, just on the phone. That's it. And he was distributing. No one taught him how to do it. Of course, the devotee was giving him some pointers, the devotee in Los Angeles. So he became a book distributor. And there you go. And the first time I read the Bhagavad Gita, I was just... I mean, I was also studying different philosophies. And I was searching. But when I read the Bhagavad Gita, it just... Nothing came close. And Pradyumna, you all know Pradyumna? He was the... Prabhupada used to call him Panditji, because he was the Sanskrit editor. Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor. So Pradyumna Prabhu, not long, many years ago, he was working with the United Nations. And they were sending him around the world to study different spiritual movements, different gurus and sadhus, and just all around the world. And Shyamasundar Prabhu was one of the first devotees to go to London, who wrote a book recently called Chasing the Rhino. Chasing Rhinos, about Prabhupada. That's the name of the book, Chasing Rhinos, because you know Prabhupada used to have shooting for the rhino, you know, people criticize, if you shoot for the rhino, no one's going to criticize because it's hard to do. So Prabhupada was doing the big sacrifice. So Shyamasundar, he asked Pradyumna about his travels. He was studying different gurus. So he asked Pradyumna, "Did anybody come close to Srila Prabhupada?" He said, "Nobody even comes close to Prabhupada." Because Prabhupada's a pure devotee. So many people, so many sadhus, they went to America before Prabhupada. And they knew something about Krishna. But they never said anything about Krishna. Never said anything about Krishna. So Prabhupada comes to America, and it's what is our name of our movement? The Hare Krishna movement. So he wanted everybody to know about Krishna. So many of the other gurus, it was, you know, their name would be there. But Prabhupada was very humble. He just wanted everybody to know about Krishna. So the other gurus, they were hiding Krishna. They wouldn't let any, and they were amazed. They would speak to Prabhupada, "We're amazed how it is that you came off so religious," presenting Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And they were impressed. They were amazed and they were impressed. Because they didn't have that purity that Prabhupada had. And he would chastise them also. "Why are you hiding Krishna? Why don't you tell them about, you know about Krishna, why? Why aren't you telling them about Krishna?" Recently heard one conversation of one guru speaking to Prabhupada. He said, "Well, you know about Krishna. Your guru knows Krishna to be the Supreme. Why are you not telling them that Krishna is the Supreme?" And they admitted, "We don't have your purity. We don't have your purity." So they would hide Krishna, but Prabhupada never hid Krishna, except for one time. Which is interesting. Back in, I'll just finish with this story. It's one of my favorite stories of Prabhupada. In 1970, Prabhupada called for about 25 devotees to go from different temples around America to help him spread Krishna consciousness in India. And his American disciples were known as the Dancing White Elephants. So they were going all over India with Prabhupada, doing Harinam and book distribution. And they went to one city, Madras, Chennai. And somehow the minister of, I think it was the, anyway, one minister, he came in contact with Srila Prabhupada and the devotees there. And he was so impressed with the devotees that he said, you can come and you can stay with me. He had a big house. And they gave him a whole floor. You know, just the devotees could stay there. 25 devotees, Prabhupada. And there was one little girl there. It was the daughter of Shyamasundara, Saraswati. And this man, he liked this Saraswati so much. Because she would dance in the kirtan and she would preach to people. Do you know who Krishna is? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada used to love that. Yes. He would preach to people. There's some big man. He said, do you know who Krishna is? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada was so fond of her. So this man, this minister, was so pleased with this little Saraswati, maybe she was 3 or 4 years old, something. So he gave her a gift. It was a little silver murti of Krishna. So she was very happy. So she was a little girl. So she set the murti down on the table there next to the couch, and she went out playing in the house, running around playing in the house. So Prabhupada said to this minister, it's nice that you've given her this gift, but it's very valuable, solid silver. Maybe you can give her something a little less expensive because she'll probably lose this. He said, yes, you're right. I have something else. So Prabhupada took the silver murti. He donated it, and the man was giving it to the devotees. So Prabhupada had this silver murti. And then the man came back with this, another, it was a clay murti of Krishna, but very beautiful color, much more attractive than the other one. But Prabhupada had these, he was holding them. So Saraswati came back and she was looking for Krishna. She was looking for this murti that was given to her. So she said, where's Krishna? She asked the devotees, where is Krishna? I put Krishna here, where is Krishna? And devotees just started looking around at each other. And Prabhupada, he caught her mood very quickly. Oh, maybe he's in the bedroom. Go look in the bedroom. Maybe he's in the bedroom. So she went into the bedroom, looked around. No. Prabhupada, he's not there. Well, maybe in the kitchen. Go in the kitchen, see. Maybe someone put him in there. She runs in, looking everywhere, darting all around, looking for Krishna. Maybe he's in the other bedroom, go check. She's running all around. Now she's almost in tears, looking for Krishna. And then Prabhupada starts chanting a verse. Hey Radhe, Vaja Devike, Savalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta, Sri Govardhana Kapapadapatale, Kalin. Go Santa Viti Sarvata Vajapare Kedar Mahavi Golo Vande Rupa Sanatana Rapa Yugo Sri Jiva Gopala. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were going all around Vrindavan looking for Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Are they on the banks of the Yamuna? Are they on Govardhan Hill? Where are they? They're always looking for Krishna. So this was the mood of this little Saraswati. So then finally Shyamasundara said to Saraswati, Saraswati, who has Krishna? And then it dawned on her, she was a smart little girl, Prabhupada has Krishna. So then she went up to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you have Krishna? Yes, I have Krishna. And then he gave her this other murti, more beautiful, colorful murti of Krishna. And she didn't even remember that she had a different one. Anyway, she had Krishna, she was happy. So then she went on her happy way. So this is the only time Prabhupada hid Krishna. And this time that he hid Krishna, everybody was amazed that Prabhupada could bring out so much devotion from this little girl, Saraswati. So we want to let everybody know about Krishna. We don't want to hide Krishna. We want to let everybody know. That's what this book distribution is about. We're letting everybody know the glories of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the greatness of Krishna. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, transcendental book distribution ki jai.